see from Deuteronomy. Again, if somebody could just announce the page reference, Deuteronomy chapter 1, that would be a help for those who are finding their way through. I'm just going to look at five verses at the beginning, which we've read several times. Ah, look at that. Three-part harmony. Look at that. 145. Thank you very much. Page 145. Deuteronomy's a book of sermons preached by Moses. And this is the opening of the book. We read, "These are the words that Moses spoke to all Israel beyond the Jordan in the wilderness, in the Arava opposite Zuf, between Paran, Tophel, Laban, Hazeroth, and Dizahab. It's 11 days' journey from Horeb by the way of Mount Seir to Kadesh Barnea. And in the 40th year, on the first day of the 11th month, Moses spoke to the people of Israel according to all that the Lord had given him in commandment to them. After he defeated Zion, the king of the Amorites, who lived in Heshbon, and Og, the king of Bashan, who lived in Ashtaroth, in Edrei. Beyond the Jordan, in the land of Moab, Moses undertook to explain this law." So these sermons are really introductions. We're starting a new series in Deuteronomy. Just to very briefly recap the two things that we've said, we focus firstly on the message of the preacher. This is a book of sermons, and here we have some of his messages that Moses preached. And in essence, he is preaching the covenant that God has given him. And the point we took away from that is that God is a covenant-giving God. He makes a way for people to come to him. And our responsibility is to make sure that we are preaching the covenant that he has given us. Because it pleases the Lord that the way that people should come to him should be by the communication of people to people. That we should share good news with other people, how they might know God. And that second point was kind of underlined by the fact that that makes it a very important message. This isn't a trivial thing we're about. It's a really important thing. It's about human beings finding peace with their maker and eternal life and forgiveness of sins. It's a very important message. So that's what we focused on in the first week. And in the second week, we looked more at the preacher rather than the message. We saw how precious those who bring good news are to the Lord. If you're somebody who's been given the covenant to share and to communicate with others, that makes you precious in the Lord's sight. You're somebody who has good news to bring, and that makes you somebody who has an important work to do, but you yourself are precious to him. You're not just sent out to do his bidding without feeling. He loves those who share good news. And secondly from that, the underlying point from that one was this, that if he has planned that the message should be preached by people, through people, people he loves, then the message must first come home to us before we then pass it on to others. Because we saw in Moses' life what a life of faith he lived. And so when he speaks, people see his life and hear his words. And in the same way, we must be a people who have experienced the power of the covenant in our own lives. And that's evident to others. So when we speak, they go, These are not light words. So we want people to take what we have to say seriously. And so we have to invest ourselves into the message that we preach. Now tonight, there are various references in the short reading we had today to places, most of which are unpronounceable and unknown to most of us. Most of us wouldn't be able to point to their positions on the map. But they're there, and they're there for a reason. And actually, when we look at the significance of some of these places, we realize there's something very deliberate going on. If it was just one reference, perhaps we'd be dismissive. But time and time again, the book opens with these places. And we realize how our message, our work, is to be done in certain places at certain times. And so I want to preach tonight about preaching here and now, preaching here and now. How are we to preach here and now? Let me just pray for us quickly, and then I'll open this up a bit. Father, we've been giving much thanks tonight for the privilege it is to be a Christian and for the blessings that are ours. And we recognize that though the responsibilities that go with it are not the means of our salvation, our salvation is through your Son and your Son alone. These responsibilities are those that we have been offered to to carry out in response to our salvation. They are the fruits of our salvation, the opportunities for thankfulness, things that we can do to show that what you've given us is precious. And we do pray that everybody here would be those who would have an overflowing desire to not just know the gospel, but share the gospel. Not just to know the gospel, but to live the gospel. And we pray that as we share and live the gospel, other people would see the reality of it in our lives and take what we have to say to heart, and that your Spirit would bring the gospel home to them. And we want to preach here. We want to preach now. We see Moses preaching there and then. We want to be those who preach here and now. We want you to use us, Lord. We are your servants. We are your people. We don't do it for wages or for hire. We do it because we're thankful and we love you. So equip us and help us and encourage us, we pray. And we ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. So just one or two lessons, really, I think you can pick out about the kind of preaching we need to do, the kind of work we need to do as Christians by looking at these references. Do you see there are all these references to places in the reading? The first there is beyond the Jordan in the wilderness. Beyond the Jordan in the wilderness. That word beyond is very telling, isn't it? It kind of throws up to us a sense that they're not really where they need to be. Yes, we're being told their location, their GPS coordinates. They are there beyond the Jordan. But the significance of the fact is that they're on the wrong side of the river. This is how far they've come. This is where they've come from. But as he speaks to them, there are people who are on the wrong side of the river. The promised land is over there, and they are still here. So there's a little geographical reference that straight away has a sense of, yes, place, where they are. There's a recognition of where they are and where they've been to get to that place. But opens up a view. This is a room with a view. And it looks out over the land of promise. It looks out and it can see the river. It can see beyond the river to the hills. It can see up to the mountains, to where Jerusalem is. It's got a view of not just another place, but another time. A place of in the future where they will travel from where they are, and in the fullness of time, that's where they'll be. So there's got to be something of that in the way that we talk to people. Recognizing people where they are, but showing them there's more. There's a river. There are hills. There's a place beyond. There's a future of blessing for the people of God. For people who believe, there's a place for you. And I think this is a very important note. We need to make sure that we are investing into what we say to people. This note of hope. Not a trite, saccharine hope. A real hope. A real place, a real future for the people of God. Yes, we're here and now, but there's still places that we haven't been to yet. There's things that are not ours yet. And to highlight the desire, to awaken the desire, and to get people to see these things and know that they're there, and to show them the way. We talked about the way this morning. Point the way to these places. And I suppose what I'm trying to say is that all our preaching must have a note of forward, future, journey. People of God, let's go forward. That's a really important note. I think we find in even these little references, there's a sense of a place beyond to which we are straining and going. The beginning of so much of the things that Jesus left us started us with go. Go. Go with the gospel. Go forward, people of God. That's important, isn't it, to have a sense of direction and future and hope and goal and purpose. That's there in the preaching. Now, I'm not saying that we are to not be aware of the past. The very fact that they're there in the wilderness, the word wilderness conjures up a sense that they're lost, that they're not in the right place, they're not in a good place, that they have needs, that they're vulnerable. And it recognizes, doesn't it, that they're in that place because of what has happened in the past that's brought them to that place. So we meet people all the time, don't we? We meet people all the time who are lost or confused or in need of all kinds of needs. And they may have a very difficult history. And people are, you know, the things that we've done in the past have this habit of continually popping up in the present. Somebody said, I tried to drown my sorrows in drink, but I found my sorrows can swim. And there's something about we try to escape, don't we? We're always trying to escape the things that have affected the world and the weights of the world on our shoulders and so on. But they can bring us to this place, and we find ourselves in a dry place, in a difficult place, a spiritually hungry and a needy place. And our preaching must show that even that moment, which could be sometimes the lowest point in a person's life, can at the same time be, if you'll look in the right direction, a door of opportunity. That there's no point in their life where you couldn't say, you might be right there in the wilderness right now, but look, the door of opportunity from God is standing right open for you right now. Hope. Go forward and pursue the promises of God. I think that's something we need to be aware of. We recognize people's past, recognize people's presence, but keep pointing through to the future that God offers in Jesus Christ. And that means that we need to call them. And there's a summoning, isn't there, in the opening passage, that all the words that Moses spoke to all Israel, he summons the people, not just to be witnesses to the things he says, but they should respond to what he says. There they all are, milling around in the wilderness, lost, and really going back over their past, as we're going to look at it in a moment, they've gone wrong so many times. But he gathers them there to respond to this message, to point the way forward, that they might respond to the message. James says, don't be hearers only, thereby deceiving yourselves, but be doers of the word. And that's what we have to call people to do, to take steps, don't we? To not just hear it, but actually take practical steps in pursuit of the things God is speaking them to back. Because people need faith. We need to see people's faith rise. What faith literally is the substance of things hoped for, it says in Hebrews. The substance of things hoped for. You've done it yourselves. Even in everyday, ordinary life, we do this. If I say to you, I'll meet you at 6:00, at such and such a place, and you take me at my word, and you set off on your journey. You get moving, don't you? And you meet me at 6:00, and then I arrive 5 minutes later, because everybody knows I'm always late. But you're there, aren't you? You put your faith that what I'm saying is true moves you to actually pursue the very event that I'm talking about, a meeting together of some sort. So if God is calling us to go forward, we go in faith, and it's in that action of faith that we actually will end up laying hold of things he is speaking to us about, and not just looking at them from afar. Preaching's calls, as we see here, calls for all Israel, everybody. It's a very open, generous message, isn't it? We're not discriminated. We just don't look out for the people who we think might be the sort of people who we should be speaking to. All sorts of conversations open up. We meet all sorts of people, and it's just to be open and welcoming to all, to talk to them about these sort of things when the opportunity arises. And sometimes we need to make those opportunities arise, and they need to be responded. So that's my first thing, really, is just that our preaching needs to have this sense of go forward in faith. A call to people to respond in faith, to go forwards. keep making progress. But all these geographical references, I've just got to focus on them for a few moments. They all also point back in time. There's also a sense of going forward, but there's also a sense of being aware of the past and the significance of these things in the past. I don't know how many of you are good Bible scholars and recognize these names and recognize these places and could find chapter and verse, because a lot of these places have been mentioned before in the book of Exodus or in the book of Leviticus or in the book of Numbers. And the association of these places, you know, if I say, do you remember what happened back in so-and-so? You know, somebody says to you and you go, oh, yes, Alexandria, whatever, I don't know. Some place where you met, somewhere you did something, and places have associations, don't they? All these places mentioned here have very pertinent associations for the people who are listening. When he says to them about the wilderness, it was in the wilderness that their fathers, the people who were supposed to encourage them and direct them, they began to complain against God. People in former generations, they heard the message of God and they rejected it. But now it's their opportunity to hear the word of God. Are they going to that remain in the wilderness like their forebears did, died in the wilderness like their forebears, or are they going to change the significance that the wilderness becomes the place not where they stayed and died like their fathers, but the place where they heard and left and got a new life and lived the life that God is calling them to do? These places had associations. When it mentions the Arabah there, which is another desert strip, I'm not going to go into all the locations specifically about that, but there's mentions of the Arabah in the book of Numbers and Leviticus, because that is where the children of Midian came to them. Another tribe came to them and invited them to come to their religious festivals and to worship their idols and then to involve themselves in a very immoral way with the women of Midian. And they entirely, everything God had been saying to them in that time before that, in that moment, they compromised all the things that they'd learned. You know, sometimes Christians do that. The Lord deals with you and teaches you something, and then a moment comes up in a time and a place, and at that moment you do something and you know it's wrong. You know it's counterproductive to everything you've learned, everything you've been taught, and you do it anyway, and you're soiled and you're spoiled by it. As soon as he mentions the Arabah, the significance of that place is that's exactly what had happened in the past. And they can see it from where they're standing. They can see that place where it happened. Are we going to do that again? Are we going to move on? Are we going to learn? And it says there that they were facing Suf as well. And the references to Suf earlier in the scriptures remind us that that's the place where, as the people traveled out, you know, they were slaves. Their lives were miserable in Egypt. But God brought them out and saved them and led them out into the wilderness with a purpose and a view and a vision. And then they started to complain because the going was tough. And they started to say things like, I wish we could go back to the life that I lived before God came into my life. And there is a time, I think the journey can be tough. I think being a Christian pilgrim can be hard. And you can look around at the world and you can look at the circumstances of people who are in the world. You can say to yourself, maybe that doesn't look too bad. Maybe life could be better. Who needs this religion or this Christianity or this God and his commands and his calling and all the difficulties and the trials and all the things that go with it? I'd be at the bottom of the pile. Yes, I have to start over, but maybe that would be better. Isn't that awful to think that, you know, Christ who saved us from our sin, there's sometimes in our hearts we want to go back to living a life of sin. There's something in our hearts that yearns to go back. Often when I talk like this, you look at me so blankly, I think I'm the only one. I am the chief of sinners. Here I am, the chief of sinners. But that's what happened in Suf. They looked back. They look back instead of looking forwards, and we do that. And as he's preaching, that place is standing there. They can see that place where that happens. These temptations are real. they affect all sorts of people. The Paran that's mentioned there a little bit further down. Paran. What happened in Paran? Paran is where the 12 spies came back in Paran. And they'd seen the grapes and they'd seen the good of the land and they brought the good report. Oh, it's wonderful. Yes, there are difficulties. Yes, there are challenges. And then those big mouths started to open up. And we've all met the people who discourage us from doing the things that God calls us to do. The naysayers and all that will never work. And, you know, we've tried that and they're too big and it's too difficult and too hard. We've all encouraged those discouraging voices. And we have choices when we hear these voices, don't we? Sometimes they're louder and more prominent than the voice that says, just believe. Just believe. The Bible speaks of a still small voice speaking, doesn't it? In the midst of the storm, a still small voice, the voice of God, just believe. And we hear, no, it will never work. You're wasting your time. This is going nowhere. And who will you hear? And these people standing there in the wilderness, facing out the land of promise in front of them with all its challenges and the unknown. You don't think those voices, you don't have to be hearing them through another person. Sometimes they're surfacing really right here in your own head, the voice of doubt. And they can see Paran from where they're standing. Are you going to just carry on living under the shadow of doubt? Or are you going to go forward and believe? Tophel and Laban. These are references to the place where God began to provide manna from heaven, the manna that came down from heaven. They were hungry in the middle of the wilderness, and God fed them. We've often, at this point, asked people, anybody here have a testimony of the Lord helping them, providing for them when they've been in need? And loads of people often put up their hands and say, yes, I can testify, I've been in it, and the Lord has just helped me. He's just helped me wonderfully. They were helped wonderfully. But after a while, they started to take it for granted, his help for granted, and they started to sniff at the manna and go, what's this? We're a bit fed up of this. It's the same old, every bread was coming out of heaven in the middle of the wilderness to feed them, and they're going, it's not cooked how I like it, you know. It's a susceptibility in us, isn't it? Through familiarity breeds contempt, doesn't it? You just take for granted the good things that God does in your life, and you become a thankless person. A thankless person, a person who forgets God. And there they were in the wilderness as Moses stood up to preach, and Tophel and Laban, where that happened, they can see it. They can see that place. What are we going to do? God is speaking. Are we going to be thankless and take it? I'm not sure I like this. Or are we going to say yes? Thank the Lord. He's showing us the way. Hazeroth. Painful memories in Hazeroth. All these places, you know, it's an illustration I often use, falling downstairs. So it's one of the worst things to do, isn't it? When you slip on the top stairs and you go all the way downstairs. Has anybody ever fallen downstairs, you know, on a run? Oh, it's awful. You just bump on every single step. And I think every single one of these names down here is some painful memory, some awful thing that happened. It's like boom, 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 all the way down to the bottom. Hazeroth, that's where Korah, who was one of the great leaders of Israel, the rebellion, began a rebellion against Moses and wanted to call the people in another direction and get rid of Moses and go in another way. And Miriam, his very own sister, started to backbite and gossip against him and all the rest of it. All that miserable division and hostility, brother against brother. Oh, such horrible memories. Horrible memories of those awful times where people who are born to be one with each other are at odds with each other. They can see Hazeroth from where they stand. As they listen to his preaching, they can probably see its heights over there. Is that how we're going to live? Are we going to move together as one? Are we going to stay as one people that God has bought with a price? Or are we going to squabble and fight and do nothing? Then there's Dizahab. We're not going to go through all of them, by the way. Dizahab. Aaron built the golden calf in Dizahab. And there was a prophecy given to Abraham that his children would go down into Egypt for 400 years and they would come out and the Egyptians would give them gold. when they came out of Egypt, they were rich. They were rich. They spent it all on this stupid calf. Have you ever wasted your time? Have you ever wasted your money? Have you ever poured it all out on something that you know is not pleasing to the Lord? You got all excited about it at the time, dancing around, happy as anything about it. And it was rubbish. And they can see Dizahab. Is that what we're going to do? All our talents, all our time. Are we going to invest it into God? Or are we just going to squander it all, squander our opportunities again? There's this reference, isn't there, to the 11 days in verse 2. 11 days journey. Oh, that's probably the most painful of them all. You know, when they were at Mount Sinai, when God gave them the law and commanded them to go to the land of promise and occupy it, if they had gone from that place and walked and arrived at the border and gone in and entered the land, it would have taken them less than 2 weeks. 2 weeks. And then we read in verse 3 that Moses gets to preach this sermon on the other side of the Jordan, just as they're about to enter the land, not after 2 weeks, but after 40 years. 40 years. How slow can you go? How creaking. You know, they've got God is with them. The promises are before them. Arise, take it. It's yours. And they crawl along at a pace that is so agonizing, so painful, through constant niggling and doubts and, lack of direction, lack of obedience. Doesn't that break your heart? Anybody here getting older? Oh my, we are getting older. I remember when I started this, I look in the mirror, I was young. Now, my goodness, the time has passed and there's so much to do. So much unfulfilled potential. So many lives still untouched and unmoved. So many things still undone. It takes ages. And what is it? It's in our flesh and our natures. It just grinds and groans along, doesn't it? And here they have a moment and they can see, if I act now, if we go now, if we go today, we can be in the land of promise. They can see it. If they'll listen and obey. Would you say, apart from that, health, time is the most precious thing we have? It's so precious. How do we use it? And they may have said in some previous time, oh, there's Sihon, king of the Amorites, and Og, king of Bashan, and they're there and they're powerful. I'm not sure we're going to be angry. But here he tells them that he preached this message after they were dead. There's no more excuses. All excuses, you know, there's a point where all excuses are gone. It's right here. There's no reason. The only reason we won't do it is because we hate ourselves and hate God. And the message comes to us, forward, forward, people of God, people of God. And I think that's my, I've only got 2 points this evening. One first point was the message, the tone of forward in faith for God's people, and the other is turning from past sins, because they're confronted, aren't they, by these past sins. Everywhere they look, they can see, and we have a choice. We have a choice whether we just stay in our sins or whether we move on with God, or we move on with God. And these are the things I think we need to be saying, obviously ingesting into ourselves. Let's hear it ourselves. And when we're talking to people as well, talking to them about that too. Turn from past sins and go forward in faith. Believe on the Lord Jesus. So as we're going to get into Deuteronomy more properly. We've just been in these opening lines, really. But I want you to see how these people are standing at the door of opportunity. There's a door of opportunity. A day of grace has opened up for them. And what's happened matters. But the real thing is what's going to happen. That's the real thing, isn't it? What's going to happen? What are you going to do for the Lord? What does the future hold for you? What acts of obedience lie before you? What's the Lord challenging you to do and calling you to do? And will we do it? Spent so much time meddling around with disappointing gods that there is one true living God who is calling his people to serve. That's my summary, really. We've got to be clear on sin. This is a very unapologetic beginning to the book, isn't it? He's not shirking on sin and saying, oh, you're all lovely people and haven't done well. But it doesn't stay there. It encourages them of the future blessings that are theirs if they'll believe. Just believe. There on the top of that mountain that they can see from there, up on Jerusalem, top of the hill, far away, and in time, still a long way off. Jesus is going to come, isn't he? When this was being preached, Jesus hadn't come yet. But if they will go and go to that place in the fullness of time, Jesus will come. He will do what is promised to do. The sacrifice will be made. Go to Calvary and find him. If you will believe in him, eternal life is yours. Find Christ. That's our great message to people, isn't it? They go to Calvary and receive the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's sing our